Okay, we're picking up at the very top of Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara had a kasha on the fact that Bito was unique in the respect of the fact that it was Midrasha Asas. The Gemara says, Kulo Nami Midrasha Asu, but all of the 15 Arayos, those are going to be discussed on Daf Beis, that we're going to learn out from Tzoras Erva, with regarding to a wife's sister. So therefore, all of them are learned out from drushas, so why should you say that specifically this case was going to be unique, as it should be mentioned first, because it was from a drusha? So the Gemara says, now granted, regards to Yibum, it's learned out from Sukkim. However, and a drasha, we're going to have Iker Osirayu Ba'adei Ksibahu. However, the basic erva is written explicitly in the Torah. The basic law is mentioned in the Torah specifically about the arayos of one's daughter. Except for one's daughter. So the Gemara says, Bito Iker Isura Midrasha. However, when it comes to Bito, we're talking about, if Bito Rashi points out specifically, a Bito born not from a marriage, right, out of wedlock. That's going to be the Bito we're talking about here, and that is not specifically mentioned in the Torah. Amar Rava, as Rava tells us, we're going to have a little bit of a complicated Joshua, we'll try to flesh this out. Amar Rav Yitzhak Bar Avdimi, Aisa Hena Hena, Aisa Zima Ziba. Now that just sounds like two words and two words. That sounds great, but gets a little complicated. How do we learn this? So let's quote the Pesukim over here. The first Pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Ches Pasuk, Pasuk at Zion says, Ervas isha uvita lo segale, es binav es bas bitik lo sikach, legalas ervasa sharina, sharahina zimahi. That literally the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, you should not cover her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter, should not cover nakedness. They are hena. They're literally hena's close relatives. And they are also, it's zimahi, it is a zima. Lashon zima is like a, not a nice thing to be done, like zima, lezamim, like to like a plot, or something bad. So this pasuk is telling us that having these relations with the daughter or granddaughter of one's wife, regardless if it's his own daughter or his granddaughter, meaning that wasn't actually his daughter or his granddaughter, but it's just from his wife's daughter that he now married, that's going to be an itzer de'araisa. However, it does not refer to a daughter or granddaughter that is born without a marriage, out of wedlock. So therefore, we don't have that pasuk mentioned. And the other pasuk says, "Ervas bas bincha, bas bitzcha lo segal ervaslan, ki ervascha hena." That the pasuk over here is saying the nakedness of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, you should not uncover the nakedness, for they're again hena, they're your own shame. This pasuk is not mentioned any reference to an isha of whose offspring or the granddaughter it might be. So therefore, this pasuk must be referring to a granddaughter out of born out of wedlock from the son or daughter. However, it doesn't tell you that the iser is of a daughter specifically. So we don't learn the word of daughter necessarily yet. We don't have the pasuk of daughter yet. We have granddaughter, but we don't have the daughter. Daughter and son's daughter, two granddaughters. However, we don't have the actual daughter herself born out of wedlock. So. So then where do we learn this out from? So since both of them refer to the wife's children, and where use the word hena, so therefore we could use the word hena as a gzera shava. We can learn that just like one's wife daughter was usher along with her granddaughter in the case where it was married, it was not out of wedlock, so too we can learn the gzera shava to teach you that even out of wedlock it's going to be a problem. So therefore, that's what we're going to learn. And then that's the actual issur itself. Now, how do I learn out what the punishment is? Because the pasuk says, "V'isha sheikach es isha ves ima zimai ba'ish yishufu also ves hen." A man who should take his mother, woman, and his mother is going to be zima again. A plot, bad thing that you do. Bad plot. Something bad that he did, they should be chayiv sreifa. They're going to chayiv to be burnt. So since the both psukim are referring to having relations with the woman and her daughter, they use the word zima. We can learn that in the context of the also when it comes to one who takes the wife's daughter is also going to be chayiv the misa of sreifa. So therefore, by extension, one who violates the iser against taking his out of wedlock daughter, which is also going to be through Xer Shev of Hena Hena Zima Zima, we can say that they're going to be Chayav Srefa. So therefore, it's a special drasha, and it doesn't exist without these special psukim. Therefore, it's Chaviv, and it's listed first. So the Gemara says now, but Hashidemart Kol Melsa De'Aitzim Drasha Chaviv Elai. Now that you mentioned though, the Tana likes to mention things first, which we learn through specific drashas of Torah Shabbat Peh, Litni Lachos Isha Levasov. So then, the wife's sister, which is going to be on Amud Beis, we're going to see, that's the whole law of the Isser of Tzara, and the Isser of Yibum, referring to somebody who's Usser when one of the Arayos is mentioned, that's the only case which actually explicitly mentioned where the Gemara is going to learn it up, explicitly from the Torah. So why don't you mention that case in the very last? Mention all the 40 cases you learned from the Drasha first. So the Gemara says, no, because I did the Ired Isser Achvasa. So since the Tana was dealing with the issue, the Isser of an Isser relationship of sisters, a man marrying a wife and his sister, which is an Isser Daraisa, Isser Karis, Tana Achos Ishto. He taught the case of one's wife's sister as well. Since we mentioned one of the cases of the maternal sister and a mother's sister, he also mentioned it with the case of the wife's sister also. So therefore, the Gemara says, V'litni lahai b'chol b'avel v'asos. But I mentioned all these cases, meaning this whole category of cases, the maternal sister and the mother's sister and the case of the daughter-in-law, all those cases should be able to be put at the very end of the list. And then you could end off with the case of Achos Isha at the very end. And then I wouldn't have this question of mentioning it second. So the Gemara says you're right. So therefore we have to reject this answer. So the Gemara says, Ela Tana Krove Krove Nakat. So therefore the Tana specifically mentioned the order of closeness to the relationship to the person. What's considered the most the closest relative is a blood relative. Dana Bito Vat Bito. No, the Karve Atzmo. They're literally like what we would call a blood relative. They're literally related to you. They're mentioned, they're closer than the other relationships. The other ones aren't necessarily blood relationships. V'ayri Tana Shlosh Doros Lamata Didei. Since he mentioned the generation descending from his men, i.e. the person's daughter and his granddaughter, those are all mentioned in the Isser. Tana Nami Shlosh Doros Lamata Dida. Also with regards to his wife, meaning the case of a wife's daughter and his and her daughter's daughter and the son's daughter, those cases, even though they're not blood related to the guy, still we just wanted to, again, we used to memorize Mishnayos, so we want to keep the cases parallel to remember that case as well. Now once we're mentioning that point, the Tana Shlosh Doros Lamata Dida, I mentioned the three generations going downwards from the man's wife. Then Tana Shlosha Doros Lamala Dida also mentioned the three generations going up from a man's wife. The Hainu, that a person's mother-in-law and his mother-in-law's mother and his father-in-law's mother, including wife, that's going to be three different dargas. It's three different dargas, not necessarily different relationships, but three different dargas. The Tana cannot list anybody coming from the man himself, his own mother, because that would be impossible, Rashi says, to have the own case with the own mother that can't be married to the brother. That wouldn't be shayach to Yibum whatsoever. That's an erva mamish. That would be an iser mamzerus, and that would therefore not be shayach to the lachas of Yibum whatsoever. So therefore it goes to the wife's side and it mentions them. Then we will move on to one's maternal sister and one's mother's sister. These again back to being blood relatives, and therefore they are more closely related than the kalosa, which is the daughter-in-law who is not related by blood. Again, because only because he married his son is he then going to be usher to kalosa, to his daughter-in-law. Now, since which were two cases which are going to be coming from sisters, so then we mentioned in the case after, in the case of the Mishnah, is one wife's sister. And therefore the Tana it would make sense for the Tana to put the case of one's daughter-in-law before the case of one's wife's brother. That wasn't in the brother's lifetime, right? When you have Reuven, in the case we had before, we had Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. So Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Reuven dies without any children. Levi was not born yet. Then Shimon comes. It comes to the tzara comes to Shimon to get to do Yibum. They do Yibum with Shimon. Then Shimon dies as well. Now we say that it's usher for Levi to then marry that woman because that's Eishes Achiv Shalaya Balamo. The Eishes Ach never is superseded by the mitzvah of Yibum, and that's going to be usher for them to do Yibum Levi. So the Gemara says. So therefore, in those cases, we should have mentioned that case. We should have mentioned who Kalos the daughter-in-law before that case. The Lomishim Korva Udasir, because these are not prohibited on the count of actual any blood relationship, just simply because the fact in both these cases, those are not a person's blood relatives. Each of them is related to a person through his relative's marriage. Therefore, none of these women can be described as being closer related to the man than other people would be. And since it's not possible to list them in order of close relationship, the Tana should have listed them in order of which is more chamar. And therefore, the case of a daughter-in-law is going to be an Isser Daraisa, an Isser Skila. It should have mentioned before the Isser, as she points out, of the Isser, which should be Achiv, Isser Eishes Ach, which is going to be an Isser Karis. So that should have been mentioned first. That's the kasha of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, since we're talking about the Isser of relationships coming from siblings, Tana Eishes Achiv Shelo Haya Be'olamo. Therefore, we mentioned the case of the brother who was not alive when the wife was first married to the first brother, and therefore Hadar Tana Kalaso, and then afterwards we mentioned the case of one's daughter-in-law. Therefore, the case of the daughter-in-law, even though it was more chamer, was mentioned more last, even though it was more severe. So therefore, we just got to the order of the Mishnah. So now the Gemara wants to analyze the Mishnah's lashon. The Mishnah says, "In my area, the Tana Potros." Why did the Tana say that these 50 women are exempting their tsaroseim, the co-wives? Meaning, again, when you have Reuven and Shimon were two brothers, and they had, and Reuven was married to the daughter of Shimon as well as to the As the other one, Litnei Asuras. Why do we say Potros? They exempt that. So that not only is Reuven's daughter, again, Reuven was married to Rachel and Leah. Rachel was the daughter of Shimon. So not just Rachel's Asur, but even Leah, who's a Tzara, who's the co-wife, is Asur also. Why don't we say, why is it say that Leah's Pater from Yibum? Litnei Asuras. Why don't we say that's Asur? It's not like if you want, Pater sounds like the Lashon, which implies that if Shimon decides to want to marry Leah, who's not related to him, which is just a Tzara, he can. That's not true. It's Mamish Nisr. Nisr de Reiser we're going to learn out. So that's not the case. So why are you saying the Lashon of Pater? So as Potros as opposed to Asuras, that they're Asuras. The Gemara says, Itan Asuras. If I would have said the Lashon of Asuras, then I would have thought that Isr Liyabim Michlatz Chalza. I would have said that it's forbidden to take any of them in Yibum, but she is allowed, she should. We're doing the mitzvah of Chalitza. I would have understood that the Tzara is Eina Chalami, they're Asur to marry. It's Asur to marry, but I would have thought that they should be doing Chalitza. And that would be the halacha over here, that even though they're excluded from Yibum, they're still going to be, for some form, they're going to be chayav in the mitzvah of chalitza. So the Kamash Malan, the Tana tells us that tzara are exempt not just from the mitzvah of Yibum, but from the mitzvah of chalitza in Gansin, meaning their whole zika. The zika is the relationship between the yavim, the potential yavim, and the woman, is that both women, in our example that we had with Reuven and Shimon, and Rachel and Leah being the two wives, to Rachel and Leah, both of them are totally as equally not shayach to Yibum or chalitza to Shimon. Both of them don't have to do anything. So then Gemara says, why do you say v'litnei asura lachlos? And the Tana should teach us that it's forbidden to perform chalitza. Then why you should say the lashon of asur? They're going to be, you should listen to Yibum and chalitza. Then we will learn that you're forbidden, that therefore to say you shouldn't be doing chalitza either. So my kavod, what would be wrong with performing chalitza? Why would you lashon of iser? The Gemara is saying, what's the problem with saying chalitza? So this wasn't chal, but there's no iser by doing chalitza. No, so the Gemara says alama lo. Why should chalitza not be forbidden? Because if you'd say she could be doing chalitza, I would have said there's an iser here involved. Because if you permit doing chalitza, people are going to think it's shayach to Yibum. Oh, whoa, I didn't know that. There was two daughters. Again, Rachel was in our example. What, Rachel was the daughter of Shimon, so she's not shayach. But maybe Leah, she should do chalitza. So Leah does chalitza, and Amaret, somebody who doesn't know halacha, he's going to say, wait a second, we see that a tzara of an erva is going to be mutter fundamentally to yibum or chalitza. They're not going to know why you're doing chalitza. They're going to think that it's shayach to do yibum also. They had the option to do either yibum or chalitza, and they're totally wrong. You're only allowed to do chalitza if you did yibum, that would be an iser deraisa. So the Gemara says that would be the problem. So the Gemara now says a different answer for the Tana's choice of words. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says that we could have said, "Kevan devimalkum mitzvah hu dasira tzara," since it's only with regards to the situation of a mitzvah of yibum that the tzara, the co-wife of an erva, is usher to a person. V'shalov mekam mitzvah sharia, but outside the situation of mitzvah yibum, she is going to be permitted. The iser of marrying a tzara of an erva applies only when both women fell before the man for yibum. Since the isra erva is going to be in that case, we would assume they're going to be considered like a tzara. However, in a situation where the man's erva, another woman, were married to someone other than his brother, the erva's co-wife is going to be permitted to him after the husband's death. So let's give an example. That example would be that if someone other than the man's brother married the man's daughter, and he had another wife as well. So when the son-in-law dies, the man is allowed to marry his son-in-law's second wife. Even though, normally when a case of yibum, this case is going to be usher. So I would have saw Mishimachi Tane Potoro. So therefore, the Brace is teaching you that when we say it exempts, that this is only going to be usher in the case of Yibum. It's a fascinating halacha. That if Reuven and Shimon were not brothers, so we had Reuven's daughter, in the case where over here, if a person marries a tzara of a woman, only when it was the Shayach to Yibum, we're going to say that this iser applies. So if Reuven and Reuven has many kids, and Reuven dies, and he was married to Shimon's daughter Rachel, and he was married to Leah, who's not related to him at all. So the halacha in that case teaches us that Leah is actually, in fact, if Reuven dies, Leah would be married to Shimon. Only when the case of Yibum do we assume that there's an iser in that circumstance. So the Gemara says, therefore, we have to lose the notion of potros in that case to teach us that this is only applicable to halachas of Yibum and nothing else. So the Gemara says, in my ear, the Tana mina chalitza mina Yibum. So why is it mentioned? The Tana has to mention that the tzaros are mentioned from chalitza and from Yibum. Litni mina Yibum lechudei. Tell us that they're pater from Yibum. Why did it mention Yibum is the main mitzvah? Chalitza is only when you're not able to do Yibum. So just mention that you're not chayav in Yibum. And I know, Mamela, you're not chayav in chalitza. No, the Gemara says, because itana mina Yibum, hava. I mean, if you mentioned Yibum, I might have said, michlatz chalitza, Yibum is I would have said that she must perform chalitza even though she's not chayav in the mitzvah of Yibum. I would have thought, even though a tzara is pater from Yibum, I would have thought that there's some sort of zika that would need to be released only through chalitza. So this is a well-known Rashi over here. The Diyuk and Rashi over here is that telling us that Only when it comes to a zika of something which isn't an iser erva, I would assume maybe it's shayach to the mitzvah of chalitza. But if something is an iser erva mamish, there's no source of chalitza whatsoever. There's nafkamina of Rav Moshe points it out. There's Moshe, Rav Nachum Pratavitz talks about this. His famous lambdas and yeshivas and all these early dappin, that's all they discuss this, is that really there is, would be a kiyum mitzvah, that even if a person go ahead and has yibum with a tzara, according to Moshe, in a chanari, vayir and isra, daraisa, and you have chai malchus for that, but you'd also be mekai in the mitzvah of yibum. And like after 120 shemayim, I don't know the nafkavita, you mekai the mitzvah also on the side, but there would be this mitzvah on the side also, as opposed to erva, imamish is vayir and isra, erva and gansin, there's no mitzvah of yibum whatsoever. And from there we learn, Kamash Malam, Kola Ola Libum, Ola Lechalitza. We learn from there, the Tana is telling us that whoever is subject to Lachas of Yibum is also subject to Lachas of Chalitza, Vechol She'ina Ola Libum, Ina Ola Chalitza. Whoever is not subject to Lachas of Yibum is not going to be subject to Lachas of Chalitza either. And therefore we're learning out that a person who is attached to the Yavam, insofar as Yibum is shayach to him, you're going to be totally, if you're shayach to Yibum, then you're shayach to Chalitza. If you're not shayach to Yibum at all, you're going to be not shayach to Chalitza as well. Now, well, what do you mean? They're going to have many cases in this Masechta that we are going to have a case where we say Chalitza's Velem Mesebemes. Those are all be cases of doubt. Those are cases where Chalitza on a Daraisa level really is not necessary, but, or other way around, that Yibum would have been Chayav and Chalitza is Chayav, but Midarabani are not allowed to do Yibum, so therefore we say Chalitza is Olam Mesebemes in order to not be okay the Din Daraisa in those examples, and that's why we require Chalitza is Olam Mesebemes. But really, fundamentally, whatever Yibum is not Chayav, Chalitza is not Chayav either, according to the Maskana of the Gemara. And the Marmaris points out, "Litnei mina yibum umina chalitza." So why did the Tana teach us that the erva is exempt her and the tzara and the co-wife from yibum and from chalitza, and mention yibum before chalitza? Inami mina chalitza lechude, or let the Tana teach that he exempts from chalitza alone and omit the reference to yibum. Why do you have to say from chalitza and from yibum? That's the backwards order. Meaning, I would have said either say yibum or chalitza, if saying both. And if you're not saying both, then just say chalitza. Then I would learn mamela yibum as well. So what's going on over here? So Gemara says, telling us, no, this is actually because again, Yibum usually seemingly, based on the Psukim, the Stam Psukim, is that Yibum should come before Chalitza, right? Only if you don't do the Yibum, then the Psukim indicate that then you should do the spitting of the shoe and release the woman. So Gemara says, no, this Mishnah is actually the opinion of Abba Shaul, Damar Mitzvahs Chalitza Kodemas Lemitzvahs Yibum. This is the opinion of Abba Shaul, which we're going to learn later in Das Lamites. The Abba Shaul is going to tell us that, as Rashi quotes, Rashi says, "Aval Abba Shaul Mar Kodes Yevimtol Shum Noe L'Shum Ishus Keila Pogea L'Shum Ishus Keila Pogea Be'erva V'Karba Ein Liosolach Memzer." If a person is marrying this woman for ulterior motives, doing yibum for ulterior motives, he says, "Karba Ein that the child is a mamzer," and that's the shaila in the Rishonim. Is that the race of Rabbanu? We'll get to more of this. We get to Lamentazon and Beis, but Abba Shaul is fundamentally of the opinion that it's better. It's actually Machlokas Ada Yomazeh between Ashkenazim and Sfardim, whether it is shayach to do chalitza only or is it shayach to do yibum first. Is that would be possible like Abba Shaul? That's all big shout out. We get to Lamentez, we'll do that. But Abba Shaul fundamentally holds that Chalitza should come first because we don't have the right kavanas anymore. Doris has shown him that was what the psukim were for. But us who don't have kavanas, kol shekein in our door, I'm talking about right now, then obviously Abba Shaul would say you should not be doing yibum, you should be doing only Chalitza. So the Gemara says, minyana derechel emute mais. Normally, whenever Mishnah has a number, it says, right, chamesh esrei erva. So in those cases, what's it coming to exclude? Minyana deseva emute mais. What do you mean? There is no number in the seva. So Rashi already points out when we say hare elu potros that these are the ones who are pottering. Mashma, that somebody else is not pottering anybody. So who is this other case? Turning on to Gimel Mabez now. Lemeute de Rav with Ravasi. The Mishnah seemingly coming to exclude the lachas of Rav and Ravasi, that Rav and Ravasi told us, notice in Daf Yud Aleph, they say, and Daf Yud Beis, that Rav says that a tzara of a sota, if you have someone who's a sota, so then she's going to be forbidden to the yavam. If a man has two wives, and one of them violated Isra Deraisa of adultery, and the man died childless, both the sota and the tzara are going to be putter from chalitza and from yibum. Rav Asi learns that also an islandist, if a man marries an islandist, the tzara of an islandist as well as an islandist also is going to be forbidden to the yavam. In both cases, they're going to be forbidden to the yavam. So that Mishnah is coming to exclude that those cases. The Mishnah says 15. It says that doesn't mention these two, so these cases are going to be excluded from the list. So the witch of Gemara asks, wait a second, then we have a raya from the Mishnah against Rav and Ravasi, so what are they going to do with this Mishnah? So the Rav and Ravasi, according to Rav and Ravasi, what are these numbers coming to exclude? So the Gemara says, if Rav and Ravasi each hold of each other's ruling, so both of these, they need two different halachas that are going to be excluded from the Mishnah's list. So the Gemara says it must be, one is Chadam Ute Taras Mema Enes, that to exclude the co-wife of someone who's below the age of Bas Mitzvah, she got married, who refused the Yavam. If a man had two wives, one of whom was orphan minor, and he died without children, after his death, the wife was orphan, she did Miyun towards the Yavam, and she's entitled to do. The lach is that both the one who did the Miyun and her Tzara are forbidden to the Yavam. So by excluding this case, the Mishnah is telling us that although the Tzara is not subject to lachas of Yibum, this is only because it's a Din Darabanan. So therefore, she's going to be chayav to do Chalitza. Therefore, it's not mentioned in the list that because Midareisa, Mion means nothing, meaning there was no marriage in the first place, and therefore, there was no real Tzara's Erev on a level of Dareisa. So really, in the cases where you have those two women, the second woman is totally on a level of Dareisa, able to marry that man. But since we have a Din Darabanan, so we tell her to do Chalitza. So therefore, that case is excluded by the Mishnah, because that case is not chayav to lachas of Yibum Chalitza, so it's a different case. And the other one is to exclude a tzara of a person who remarried his divorced wife. So if a person gets divorced, right? Reuven married Sarah, and Sarah gets divorced him. And then Sarah goes on to marry Shimon. A different person is not related. Reuven and Shimon are not brothers in this case. So now what happens is if Shimon dies, it's usher for Sarah to go back to marry Reuven. So if he violated the halacha, so then the case would be, and he violated the halacha, and he had two wives, so then Reuven dies. And now his real brother Levi, Reuven dies without any children, and his real brother Levi is supposed to be doing Yibum, so both of them are going to be the Lacha, that they're not Tzayach to Yibum. They're not going to be Tzayach because she's a Tzara, because that's going to be Isser. Again, whenever there's an Isser Erva, there was an Isser on the original marriage, then we assume that there's no Shaykhus to do Yibum. However, in this case, we're going to assume that in this case, you should do Chalitza, because really, fundamentally, maybe they should have been doing Yibum and Lava Doresa, because this case isn't fundamental, whatever, that's all Shaila, but at this point, we're assuming that you should be doing Chalitza. So the Gemara says, now, if Rav and Ravasi don't have to hold of both rulings, so then only one case in the Mishnah, again, is going to be superfluous, because they're going to be able to use the number to exclude one of the other cases, right? If, let's say, Rav is going to say that it's going to case of an islandist, so then, what would he hold? So then the Gemara is going to say that Chadim Lute Dechav, right? One number is to exclude his others, the right, Ravasi's ruling about the islandist. Let's say Ravasi will say, no, it's coming to exclude the case of Mima Enes. And the other one has come to exclude either the koif of a woman who refused the yavam and the koif of a married divorcee. Both those cases are going to be exempt from yibum. So the gemara or from yibum chalitza really not supposed to be yibum, and therefore you should do chalitza. So the gemara says, "Rav Lavasi litninus." But according to Ravasi, a good question: why doesn't the Mishnah mention this in the list of things that are shayach to yibum and chalitza? Because they are shayach to the lachas of chalitza at least. So why don't we assume they're shayach of a? According to them, they're not going to be shayach to yibum. More chalitza. Both those cases, they're going to be exempt from chalitza and remim according to Rav and Ravasi. So the kasha is, why don't you put them in the Mishnah? So the Gemara points out, because the Mishnah fundamentally mentioned something that is going to be halachas of tzara's tzara. That they, because they are not subject to halachas of the tzara's tzara, the co-wife's co-wife, and we mentioned that what is the case of the co-wife's co-wife? If you have the co-wife of an erva, so if you have, let's say, again, we have Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven and Shimon and Levi, you have three different brothers. So, and Shimon, Shimon's daughter married Reuven, say Rachel, Leah. And so in the case where Reuven dies, so it wasn't Shayach that they should go to Shimon. So if they, right, they weren't, it wasn't Shayach that they go to Shimon, because you had Rachel, who was Shimon's daughter, and therefore the Tzara also is pater from doing Yibum to Shimon. So now what happens if now Levi's in the picture, and the Leah is going to marry Levi? So now Rachel's totally out of the picture. She goes out and marries someone else, Shalma Yisrael. And what happens if Levi dies without any brothers? So that was the halacha of Tzara's Tzara. That not only is Levi, because originally at one point she was a tzara, she was not able to marry Shimon because of that she was a co-wife of Rachel, the daughter of Reuven. So too in this case, she's, even though right now Leah is totally, Rachel is totally out of the picture, she went to marry someone else, doesn't matter. But since now Levi dies and his children, not only is Leah, the other daughter, going to be pater from doing Yibum or Chalitza to Levi, but so is the other wife of Levi. That halacha is only going to apply in the examples of the Mishnayos. However, regarding to a Sotan islandist, this is not going to, it cannot apply, because when their husband dies, they are forbidden to all surviving brothers. So they're not allowed to do Yibum or Chalitza with anyone. In the example we had, Leah was able to go ahead and marry Levi. Or even in the case we had Leah or Rachel, it just happened to be that Levi decided to do Yibum with Leah. However, in the case of, we're mentioning over here, with the case of Isser, Machzer, Grushoso, both those cases would be something which it's Usser and Gansen for Levi to ever do Yibum Chalitza. And therefore, the halachas are different. We don't mention them in the Mishnah. Fine. Whew. That was tough stuff with Shechazer a little bit. Now we're up to the next point of the Mishnah, which really, maybe we should ask this immediately, is how do I know there's a concept of Tzara? So how do I know, Minanamile, where do I know that this halacha, that an Erva and also her Tzara, her co-wife and her Tzara's Tzara are going to be pater from Yibum? Tana Banan, we learn her baisa. Isha lachosa lotikach letzor legalar sevasa alea bechaya. You should not take a woman in addition to her sister to make them tzoros to uncover the nakedness upon her in her lifetime. So the Gemara asks alea matan. Why do you have the lashon of alea? As Rashi points out, why don't you just say lichtov legalas ervasa bechaya? Why do you have to mention alea on her? So that's an extra lashon over here. So the Gemara says levishin emar yavam alea yavo alea, because it says yavam yavo alea, which teaches us her yavam should to have relations with the potential yavam. I might understand that we're talking about in the case the Yavavama, one of the Arayos mentioned in the Torah. Nemar Khan Aleah. So therefore, to preclude this, I would have said it's stated over here in regards to a wife's sister Aleah. But Nemar Lahalad Aleah. And also, it's stated over there in regards to Yibum Aleah. So the Gzeirah Shavah is teaching you Malahalam Ramako Mitzvah. So just as over there, the situation, the mitzvah, in which case a man's brother dies childless, Avkan Makom Mitzvotzi over here with regards to having relations with his wife's sister, the pasuk is teaching you where the situation is a mitzvah of yibum. V'amrachmana lo sikach, and the pasuk is teaching you that one should not take a woman in addition to her sister. Therefore, that we see from there that the halacha of an erva does not supersede the halacha of yibum. V'ainli elayi, I've only learned that a wife's sister herself is excluded from the mitzvah of yibum. How do I know tarasa menayin? How do I know that her co-wife is also going to be excluded? Talmud Leimer litzror, because the pasuk says litzror to make them rival wives. V'ainli ela tarasa. So we learn from the tzror that the extra lashon means that it's not just in addition to marrying the wife, the actual tzror is a rival. That's where the lashon of tzara comes from, the rivalry between the two people marrying. So therefore, not only her, and also her rival, who's a rival, the other wife, is also going to be pater for the mitzvah of yibum. Now I have learned that only the co-wife is excluded. Where do I learn the co-wife's co-wife? Example we just had before of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, where Shimon's daughter married Reuven. In addition to that, Reuven also married Rachel and Leah. That was Rachel was Shimon's daughter, and Leah was not. So then, when Reuven dies, Leah decides to even with Levi, and now Levi dies. So then, where do I know that also not only is Leah not able to do Yibum with Shimon, but also Levi's other first wife, Sarah, is also not able to do Yibum? So where do I know that? So the Gemara says, Tavalomar litzror v'lo latzur. The litzror is a double implication. What is a litzror with an extra reish? This is including a tzara tzara, an extra chiddush that both pater from the mitzvah of chalitza and yibum in the case of where there's a third brother, and Shimon now comes back to the picture, both in the example we mentioned, that would be pater. Ve'eli ela achos isha. So now I have therefore learned only one's wife's sister and her tzara and her co-wife and her co-wife tzara tzara are excluded from yibum. Shara rayas manan. Where do I know that the other rayas are excluded in the mitzvah of yibum? Amart ma achos isha miuchedes. What is the special characteristic of a wife's sister? She erva v'chayvaz dono karz v'elshkiko chatas. She's an erva, and you would be chayv karz if you did it b'mezid, and if you did it b'shogi, you'd be chayv karm chatas. So then, asur liyavam, she's forbidden to the yavam. So too, av kol she erva, anybody's considered an erva, and she's going to be chayv as dono karz v'elshkiko chatas. Therefore, asur liyavam, she's going to be permitted to the yavam, even where there's a mitzvah of yibum. Ve'eli elohen. So not only with regards to the arayos themselves are excluded from yibum. How do I know what's our saying of the other arayos? In all the cases of a sister, she is an Isser Karis, and she's Bechshogin Isser Chatas, and she's Asher to do Yibum, and also the Tzara is Pater, as we learn that from Litzror. So, Av Kol She Erev Chayav, it's not Karis, it's Chatas, Vasur Liyavim, Tarasa Asura. So, too, any case of a woman who's an Erva, who's Chayav Karis for intentional relations, and Bechshogin can be Chatas, is when Chayav Chatas, so Tarasa is also going to be Koyf as me forbidden to the oven. So Gemara said, "Mikan Amar Chachamim." From here, the Chachamim said in the Mishnah. So therefore, Chamesh Shvi Nashim Ptoros Tarsen V'Tarsen Them Min Achalisa Min Yibum Ad Soif Ha Oilam. So therefore, there's a 15 women who are going to be putter. There are another 6 women also, it's really 21, who are forbidden to marry as an Isser Charis. However, those are paternal marriages by their very nature. Whenever they're forbidden to marry, they're also forbidden to the brother, and therefore it's not shayach to mention, Rashi points this out. Those 6 other cases are not shayach to mention because there's no shayachas to Yibum where it was Aser and Gansen to the brother as well. There really is 21 cases of Erva in the Torah. However, 15 of them are only shayach to lachas of Yibum and Chalitza. So now the Gemara says, Yachol Shani Marbe Avshesh Arayos Chamuros Me'elo. So it might have been thought that I should include even the 6 Arayos who are more Chamor than these 15. So I would mention that there should have been mentioned, Shiyu Tarsen Asuros, that they're also, their co-wives should be forbidden. Amart, I said, Ma Achos Ishtal Miuchedes. What special karsak of my sister? She does Erva Vachedes, Donakaris, Vikachatas, Veshon Yaslachem, Vasur Liyavim. She is allowed to be married to one of the man's brothers, and she's still permitted to the Yavim, and she dies, and the brother dies childless, Sarasa Asura, and those co-wife is also forbidden. Of course, she Erva Vachedes, Donakaris, Vikachatas, Veshon Yaslachem, Vasur Liyavim. Those cases are exactly the same. They could be married to the man's brothers, and forbidden to the Yavim. If his brothers die childless, the halacha is mitzvah. Asher asura, the co-wife is going to be asher. Yatzah sheis arayos chumras meilu. The six arayos that are more than these 15, meaning the 21 arayos. Ha'el di yeshali nasi lechem chosim mataros. And since they're not even allowed to be married to a man's brothers, their co-wives are presumably certainly are always going to be permitted. Shein tzara elamach. Because the reason is there's no co-wife of an erva is forbidden except in the case of the erva, the co-wife of the brother. So then, the Gemara is saying over here that after stating six women cannot marry Burns brothers, they're not similar to Achos Isha. They're basically explaining that the reason of that they're not called the Tzara does not apply universally. Based on this reasoning, we learn that even concerning the 50 women who are going to be similar to Achos Ash, their Tzara is prohibited only in a situation where she is an Erva. Both she and the Erva are both married to the man's brother. That's what we're learning out from this Maskana. So that's what the Gemara says. Now, Azara Shamanu, we learn the Azara. Now, where do we learn Onesh Minayan? Where can I learn the, where do we learn the penalty for violation of this halacha? Amar Kura Kol Ish, because every Isra in the Torah needs a place where the Torah mentions the actual, the warning for doing it and the actual punishment itself. So here, so we learn out the warning. Where do we learn out the actual punishment? Because the Pasuk says, Ish Asher Kol Yaseh Et Kol HaTorah Yavos. And the Pasuk continues that, so we learn over here that it's mentioned in plural, the woman is, as well as the man is going to be chayav. So therefore, one who takes an erva or her tzara is going to be chayav karis as well. That's what we learn as from over here. The Gemara points out, Tama de kazer chumana alea. That we learn out the word that says alea, which is the basis for the gzera shava that we mentioned. I would have said that the wife's sister would be allowed to be taken in yibum. My time, why would we assume that that the yibum is permitted in the, if, when every erva is usher to the avam under the isra kares? So the Gemara says, because I would have said, I would have thought maybe the mitzvah of Yibum is the mitzvah asay, and that would over supersede and override the issue of the Isra Dereisa of marrying a woman and a sister. So now we'll pick up with Imar Darmina Asev Los Asay, is that really even possible? Havmina, well, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with that in tomorrow's daf.